When Reverend Myra asked me to speak today, I was overwhelmed, as I know there are many of you out there who do way more for the environment than I do. I also know there are many of you who know more about it than I do. So I am sure you can understand my apprehension. Myra told me to just speak about my journey in caring about the environment. So that is what I will attempt to do this morning. But like everyone else who stands up here to speak to you, a whole set of emotions bubble up. Starting with, I don't want to seem like a kooky tree hugger, but you are what you are. I also don't want anyone to think I'm any kind of authority on the subject, as I'm definitely not. Lastly, standing up here is humbling because we are so used to and blessed with good preaching in our parish. It's a tough act to follow, but I'll give it my best shot. I think my deep caring for the earth comes from the fact that I believe the science. I believe the urgency that things need to change soon. Experts say we have just 10 years before the damage we've done to the earth becomes irreversible. That's scary, but I also believe it can be fixed. It will take major changes to our everyday life, but I know it can be done. But more about that later. Back to my journey. My environmental journey began with my teaching career. If you've ever heard that teachers are only one page ahead of their students in their textbooks, that was definitely true for me. I'd learned the science lesson the night before I needed to do it with my class. It was the same with teaching about the environment. I was learning it on the fly. The 70s was when Earth Day first started, so there was much published during that decade and the following to heighten awareness. I remember reading a weekly reader with my class, and it was telling the children they should turn the water off when they are brushing their teeth to not waste water. At the time, that was not a habit for me, and it was a bit of an aha moment as I was thinking, that makes sense. Why do I just let the water run? So that was probably one of the first practices I put into motion and encouraged my class to do as well. The more I learned about the environment, the more I would bring it into my classroom and try to build habits in my children regarding not wasting paper, recycling, and repurposing whenever possible, and bringing snacks to school in a reusable container. I'm sure I drove the parents crazy with that one. I loved teaching about taking care of the earth, and the children would often come up with great ideas for us to try in the classroom. After a lesson on how paper comes from trees, and the trees have to be cut down to give us that paper, we brainstormed ways to reduce our use of paper towels in the classroom. They were very creative, and at one point, each child had their own cloth towel hanging from their desk to use for drying hands. Some children would just shake the water off their hands as they walked back to their seats, made for a bit of a wet room at times, but we were learning about conservation. One of the best ways I try to learn about what is going on with the environment is by reading about it. Articles, books, whatever I can find. I'm happy to report my reading has moved beyond the weekly reader. Another way I have learned a lot on this subject is from the environmental groups I've joined. I belong to two. One is the Mother Earth Committee here at Spiritus, and the other is called Color Penfield Green. Other local areas have started Color Your Community Green groups too. I know Brighton, Irondequoit, Fairport, and I think Henrietta just started theirs. I've learned so much by just listening at these meetings. Recently, meetings, of course, have all been on Zoom. The beauty of that is I was able to mute myself and just listen and really take it all in. Sometimes I honestly don't know what they're talking about at these meetings, as there are scientists, engineers, climate activists, organic farmers, organic gardeners as part of these groups. Their knowledge of environmental issues is amazing and far beyond mine. I've learned about geothermal heating, nuclear fusion, biodiversity, mason bees, and the list goes on. Being part of groups like these is a great way to expand your knowledge of the subject. Somewhere along the way, I started a practice of every year around Earth Day, adding another action to the things I was trying to do to reduce my carbon footprint. Some of the things are very small, simple actions, and others have been harder to put into practice. About 10 years ago, I decided there was no reason why I couldn't compost in my backyard to cut down on food scraps ending up in the landfill. I bought a compost bin, which looks like a little doghouse, and it sits in the corner of my yard. It has a cover on it, so I don't need to worry about attracting animals. And into it goes all of my apple cores, banana peels, the occasional wilted lettuce, etc., resulting in less food waste from my kitchen. Another year, I vowed to stop using styrofoam. I had actually read in an Ann Landis article, of all places, that styrofoam never breaks down, so it's one of the worst things for the environment. I decided I would just not use it. I knew this would be a little tricky because I often needed hot liquid cups at school when I would surprise my class with hot chocolate on particularly frigid mornings. You can buy a large sleeve of styrofoam cups for 99 cents, but I'd need to invest more in other cups. So I knew it would be a little hard to stick to this, but doing what's right for the environment is hard. What I didn't anticipate was something that happened the very first day I put my styrofoam boycott into action. That year, Earth Day fell during spring break, and I had planned a road trip with my mom to visit Washington, D.C. The day we visited Mount Vernon happened to be Earth Day. We toured the house and the grounds, and it was all lovely, but it was an unseasonably chilly, rainy day, so we were cold and miserable by the end of the tour. We decided to stop in the cafeteria on the grounds and get a nice hot coffee to warm us up. Well, the only hot cups they had were styrofoam cups. I remember asking the server if I could have mine in any other type of cup. She said, "No, that's all we have." So here I was, not even 12 hours into my commitment to not ever use styrofoam again, and I was faced with a challenge. I chose to skip the cup of coffee, and I ordered a granola bar instead. I sat across from my mother, who was drinking her coffee, and just the smell of it was killing me. Of course, my mother couldn't understand why I was sticking to this. "Just drink the coffee," she kept telling me. "What difference does it make? Here, have a sip of mine. I won't tell anyone." She definitely didn't get it. Another year, my Earth Day initiative came after I looked around my school and realized we had no system set up in the cafeteria for the kids to recycle. So I decided to tackle that. It sounds simple, right? Put a box in the cafeteria for recycling. But nothing is ever simple. I went to my principal to point out that we teach children about recycling in our classrooms and have the blue bins for recycling paper, but we don't give them an opportunity to recycle in the cafeteria. I asked if we could set something up. And I was told it was a good idea, but we don't have a way for the kids to rinse out anything in the cafeteria before it's recycled. Plus, we couldn't make more work for the custodians. Unwilling to accept no for an answer, I asked if it was acceptable to organize a way for it to happen without the custodians being involved. So a small group of teachers, we called ourselves the Green Team, took turns rinsing out the plastic containers the kids were recycling. It was hard after a full day of teaching and everything that goes with that to then spend time rinsing out a bunch of plastic containers. But I felt it was worth it to try and build good habits in the children. Once again, my mantra, it's hard doing what's right for the environment. Another Earth Day commitment was to buy a hybrid car. They cost significantly more than a comparable car with no electric features, but I was determined. So I found one that was used, and that made it affordable for me. I remember the car salesman was trying to talk me into buying a new car instead that was not a hybrid. He didn't get my reasons for wanting a hybrid, and he kept saying, "But you can get a brand new car for the same price." Maybe it wasn't the wisest financial decision I've ever made, but I've had that car 11 years now, and it's been a great vehicle. My next car... My next car will be totally electric. I'm not even going to get into the details of how using cloth diapers is hard and inconvenient. Use your imagination. Many years ago, I read Al Gore's book, An Inconvenient Truth. What a perfect title, as it's definitely not convenient to do most things that are better for the Earth. Another Earth Day promise was to stop eating meat. I kept reading and hearing about methane gas that is released into the atmosphere from raising cattle, and deforestation that happens to make room for the cattle farms. So I decided I would take the plunge and become a vegetarian. It's not like I don't like meat, I really do, or did, as it's been many years now since I've eaten any. For the most part, I do fine not eating meat, until I smell it being grilled. There's nothing like that smell. Not eating meat is probably the hardest thing I do for the Earth, but it's doable. Actually, I know it's even better for the environment to be completely plant-based, but I'm not quite there yet. That would mean no cheese, no dairy, not even honey, as that doesn't come from a plant. I admire those of you who are doing it, and I hope someday I'll be ready for that to be my Earth Day pledge. Some of the simpler things I've added through the years were using cloth napkins instead of paper. My kids remind me that I used to make them use the same cloth napkin all week. Kids don't even really use a napkin, so I didn't see any harm in reusing the same one for several days. I'm sure if you're a germaphobe, though, that makes you crazy. Another simple change I made one year was to put a box under my sink in the kitchen for recycling random pieces of paper. Things like envelopes, shopping lists, so many small pieces of paper that otherwise would end up in the trash. It doesn't take long for that box to fill up, and then I add it to my recycles in the garage. Another year, I stopped using the Keurig disposable pods in my coffee maker. I found a unit that fits into the Keurig that I can fill up with whatever coffee I want, but it's not disposable. I wash it out, compost the coffee grinds, and use it over and over again. Last year's Earth Day commitment was to switch to solar power as our electricity source. We didn't put solar panels on our house, we just switched to buying our electricity from a solar farm instead of RG&E. That actually was one thing that wasn't hard to do. This year, I'm going to try and go completely organic with my food purchases. I've dabbled in buying organic products here and there. As I've known, it's better for us. I've learned it's so much better for the environment to support farms that are not using pesticides and fertilizers that are harmful. So I'm going to try and be consistent about buying organic products, which is hard because it's more expensive. Do I want to buy strawberries that are $1.99 or the ones that are $5.99? I just have to bite the bullet and do it. I have to give a shout out to my husband, Tom, for putting up with some of my quirky behaviors around this topic. He doesn't necessarily share my passion for the environment, but he's been very tolerant of my mission. He even eats about 3 or 4 vegetarian meals a week with me. I know I'm not exactly easy to live with, as I sometimes audit what is being put in our garbage. Tom has respected my journey to learn more and put some practices into action, and I appreciate that support immensely. I retired from teaching in 2019, but I'm still teaching children about taking care of the Earth. I have 6 grandchildren, and I share with them all of my habits for helping our environment. I'm hopeful that my passion might become their passions as well. As you know, the problems our Earth is facing are bigger than anything you and I can solve. Major changes need to happen at a higher level to have an impact. Laws have to be made. The way we heat our homes have to change. The way we fuel all of our modes of transportation has to change to reduce our carbon emissions. So the examples I've given today really just amount to a minuscule drop in the bucket. But it's something. I guess I feel we can't just sit back and wait for Bill Gates to solve the problem. We all need to start making small changes so we'll be prepared for those big changes that I do believe have to be in our future if we're going to continue to live on this earth. God gave us a beautiful place to live, and we have ruined it. So I guess I'm thinking I should be inconvenienced and work hard to try and work towards fixing it. We can be the good shepherds for the earth. If you are thinking about putting a new practice into action this Earth Day, remember, every little thing we do helps. Pick something you can be successful with, but remember, it's probably going to be hard. I'm going to quote Tom Hanks from the movie League of Their Own. He's talking to Gina Davis, and she's thinking about quitting baseball because it's hard. Tom Hanks says, "It's supposed to be hard. The hard is what makes it great." So expect it to be hard to do something good for the environment. It's supposed to be hard. The hard is what is going to bring our Earth back to being beautiful. Thank you.